ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. Watch live on QSportsTalk.com. This is Orange Nation.
Stephen Fonte, Paulie Sibilia back with you here on a Monday edition of Orange Nation as we are joined by Josh Black at this time every Monday throughout the college football season, Paulie.
And Steve, it's brought to you by Auburn Community Hospital, recruiting talented people every day in Sheridan, Syracuse University Conference Center.
All right, Josh, another heartbreaker, unfortunately, that we got to talk about here on a Monday. You guys have been right there against Florida State, Wake Forest, now Clemson. They all end with a three-point defeat. I guess let's start with your takeaways, and then we'll get into how the team is dealing with this. But just your overall assessment of the game and the performance out of your defense.
Yeah, overall, I felt like we had a really great game plan on the defensive side of the ball. And we did what we were supposed to do during this game, you know, stop the run, you know, challenge every single route they end up throwing. But you know, it came down to those big plays. And the thing about these conference games, you make one mistake, it's going to bite you in the butt, and that's what happens. You know, there's such a small room for error while playing these conference games, especially a team like Clemson, that who will capitalize off that. And that's what happens. One play that stands out to me is the fake punt. And the thing about that, we practice all week for that. I mean, we really practice it 2 to 3 times a week, just, you know, just game planning for other teams as well. So we knew exactly what was going on, but it really just came down to, you know, they made a play over us, and you know, that set them up with a touchdown. And, you know, that's something that's really, you know, really sticking with us for sure.
It's funny you should bring that up. That was going to be my next question, that, you know, you talk about a play here or there. There are really three plays that you go back to and you say, well, if any of those three plays go differently, Syracuse probably wins. It would be the Garrett Schrader pick in the first half. It was the fake punt, and it was the missed field goal there at the end. And, you know, since you brought up the fake punt, take us through that, because it looked like, for those of us watching the game, it was like, oh, funky formation. Looks like they may be faking it here. They're kind of in no man's land. And sure enough, you guys kept your defense on the field. You were ready for it. Is that a type of thing, you know, Paulie brought up, you know, why didn't they call timeout and maybe have Clemson switch out of it? Is that a thing where you felt like you knew what was about to happen and you wanted them to run that play?
So the way we set up for it, we actually did want them to run the play. We had everything defended. Basically, what they try to do with this fake punt, they try to catch you off guard. They try to find an imbalance on the field. So, I mean, they're splitting out four guys to the right and a couple to the left. They want to see, oh, where do we have the mismatch? Where do we have the extra guy? Well, we were fully prepared for that. We evened and equaled everything out. So in my head, I feel like, all right, this is going to be great. We want them to do this. We're going to have better field positioning when they don't convert the pass. And, you know, it really just came down to them just making a great athletic play with that pass. I mean, you can ask for a better pass than what that punter throwed. And then the fact that it was that great catch also, it's like, man, those are just players being players. Like, I mean, that's going to happen during the game, but you just wish it happens less in situations like that.
Yeah, and obviously it turned out to be a huge play. Clemson keeps the ball. They go down and score right before the half. Garrett Williams gets injured on the play. I know you probably can't share too much about injuries, but and anything on Garrett? How's he doing? How's he feeling?
Yeah, he's fine. He's just a little bit shook up from that. You know, just got, you know, clipped by our own teammate. A little bit of friendly fire that kind of put him down for a little bit. Yeah, but he's all fine with everything.
All right, so. You know, just in terms of moving on from this, you know, and I feel like I've asked you this the last couple of weeks, but, you know, it has been deja vu all over again and Groundhog Day, whatever analogy you want to come up with. It's three straight losses, all you were right there, and you lose by 3 points. You are one of the leaders on this team, Josh. As a leader, and it's human nature to be disappointed and frustrated, so I would imagine you're feeling some of that, but as a leader, how do you rally the troops so that you truly forget about it and move on, or is that not possible right now coming off of three straight games that you lost like this? Is it going to weigh on you all week?
I mean, at this point, it's all about really playing for each other and ourselves. You know, it's really difficult the last 3 weeks. You know, like you said, we lost by 3 points each. And obviously, guys are getting frustrated. We're getting annoyed. You know, we're getting tired of losing by just so close. Like, I can't really put it into words, like, what that feeling is. But it's to the point where, we need to win. But and that's the cool thing about, you know, losing these last three games. Like, we know we're right there. And we know that these mistakes we can fix. And, you know, we all feel like everything's obtainable. Everything's reachable. And, you know, keeping everyone together is obviously going to be a little bit difficult in this time. But we just have to make sure everyone's on the same page. Everyone comes to workouts, practice, ready with that same intensity every day, and figure out the things we need to fix on, because it's, like I said, to come down to those small, tiny details that we let slip and other teams capitalize off that.
I asked you this on Q Sports Talk during the break, and I'll ask you again for our radio audience. You know, it's easy for us to Monday morning quarterback and say, hey, just get that yard, get that 2 yards against Clemson. What is it like looking as a defensive player at Clemson's defense compared to other defenses you face?
Yeah, they're, you know, they're like all supermen on that defense right there. You look at them like, oh man, these guys are worth millions and millions of dollars. Just overall great athletes, great players. It's almost like you're creating these players in a laboratory and sending them to Clemson to play, to get prepared for the NFL. You know, and just overall, they have a great defensive coordinator as well, so it works hand in hand. And, you know, their defense is really fun to watch also. I mean, I watch their defensive line all the time, see how they're coached up and how they use their hand, how they use their feet. You know, great technicians, got great speed, great athleticism all over the field. And, you know, they're a really exciting defense to watch too.
So, Josh, you've been a part of several teams here, some that have had losing records and some, you know, you look back at that 10-3 season. I'm just curious, the fact that you guys are 3-4 right now, you've lost three games the way that you've lost them. Is there any finger pointing going on, or, you know, any blame going on in the locker room? I mean, and as a leader, again, how are you dealing with that, making sure that, that you nip that stuff in the bud?
Right now, I don't sense anything hostile like that. Like you said, being a leader, I kind of hear both perspectives of everything. I try to not, you know, select myself to a certain group of players on our team. Like, obviously, there's going to be some niches on teams. But, no, everybody collectively as a whole feel like everybody is responsible. I mean, obviously, you want plays to work better on offense and defense and, you know, and vice versa, the special teams and whatnot. But it all comes down to, you know, it shouldn't even have to come down to some of these plays, in my opinion. And that's where a lot of the guys feel also. And he's got to work hand in hand with that stuff.
All right, we do have to ask you about Tommy DeVito. That was the big news yesterday. And we knew this was a possibility when Garrett Schrader won the job, that where does that leave Tommy DeVito? And he chose not to wait until the end of the season. He chose to do it now. How did you find out that Tommy had entered the transfer portal? And, yeah, I guess your first, let's start with your thoughts on him leaving and, you know, mid-season like this.
Yeah, it was definitely heartbreaking for me because Tommy and I are really close friends. And, you know, he's been a little bit distant this week. And I kind of pulled up Twitter and I saw it. I was like, man, like my heart dropped, my stomach dropped. Like, he's one of those genuine guys that I'll do anything for. I'll take a bullet for. I'll take a grenade for him. And, you know, it's just, you know, it sucks to see, but he's got to do what he has to do. He's a grown man. He understands the situation. And, you know, he took everything this year, what happened, as a champion. And you know, I wish him the best luck no matter where he goes. I'm always going to be a Tommy DeVito fan, always. I'm going to follow the rest of his career, and you know, I'm always going to be there for him. And, you know, wherever he goes, wherever he decides to go, he's going to do great things. And right now, like since he left, like kind of in the middle of the season, it gives him a better opportunity to get recruited by other places and have more time to really weigh out his options. So I support him in that regard as well.
All right, so you touched on my next question right there, because from the outside looking in, Josh, it's hard for us to understand why he would leave now. It's not like with, you know, with Taj Harrison, you know, for instance, he wanted to preserve an extra year of eligibility, or at least that's a plausible reason why he did to leave midseason. When Tommy's already redshirted, this year counts against him one way or the other. He's only got 1 year left. Do you have a sense why now? Like, what changed with him? Why he decided to do it now, opposed to wait five more games and then put his name in the portal?
Yeah, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think it was because he will have more time to really weigh his options, because you really want to be in tune with a team before spring ball starts. And so I feel like he wants to make sure he makes the right decision, make sure he fits in with the program, the scheme, and, you know, all the logistics going into wherever he decides to go. So, yeah, I'd probably say it's about right there.
And again, if you can't answer this, I understand, but I do want to at least offer you the opportunity. Have you spoken with Tommy since the news came out yesterday? Do you plan to speak to Tommy? It sounds like you two are very close. Anything you can share with us?
Basically, right now, I'm kind of letting, you know, everything kind of get all flushed and, obviously, his phone is getting bombarded with everything right now. I'm going to hit him up later this week, kind of get his thoughts on everything. Because, you know, I know, like, when big news like this happens, you know, you kind of have a lot of emotions. I'm sure he's going through a lot right now, too. I just want to make sure he's calmed down, you know, and he's ready to talk to me about it. And, you know, I just want to, you know, overall make sure he's all good and just what his thoughts are. Because, like I said, like, I'll do anything for that man. He's a class act guy. I legit would do anything for him.
All right, well said, Josh. Let's move ahead now and look ahead to this next opponent. It's Virginia Tech down in Blacksburg. I asked you during the break off air if you've had a chance to ever visit Blacksburg or see a football game down there. You said you haven't been. What are you expecting? What have you heard from others? I know Dino's never been down there as well. What are you expecting to see on Saturday?
Well, it's going to be an exciting atmosphere. I'll tell you that. They have the best college football entrance in you know, in the entire country, and that's just what I've seen, that's what I've heard, and I finally get to experience that, so that'll be awesome. They play Enter Sandman, my Metallica, so it's going to be definitely a great atmosphere to play in, and, you know, I just, you know, we're all really excited, you know, go down there, especially to a new environment, too, and, you know, to play a vulnerable Virginia Tech team, you know, we just got to come ready to work this week.
You're coming off three really close games, tough losses. And, you know, there's buzz going around about the head coach and, you know, how the fans feel and the media feels. Is there added pressure on you guys with that noise in the background about Dino?
To be honest, as a football player, no. We're kind of taught to, you know, just kind of blind out everything. Obviously, we know how distracting the outside noise can be, whether it be disgruntled fans, whether it can be, you know, just media being media, you know, and obviously huge distraction. You give into that. You start double-guessing yourself. You start to think about all the other possible outcomes. And the end result, you lose focus on what we really need to focus on. So we usually push all that aside, knowing that it's there. So we just keep doing our job.
All right, Josh, last one for you. I know it's early in the week, but what can you tell us about Virginia Tech? What do you know about this opponent?
Well, we know that they're vulnerable on offense, and overall, still, they're a really good team. You know, we keep going in each week. We know their strengths. We know their weaknesses, and right now we're still watching a lot of film, really trying to get everything to digest. And just from there, we're going to figure out what our game plan is, but also add in what has caused us some problems, you know, in the previous weeks. It always seems that some of these teams, they run plays or have specific schemes and designs that affected us from weeks before, whether that's in their real game plan or not. So it's going to be interesting to see what they have game plan for us as well.
All right, Josh, great stuff. Thanks for your time today, and best of luck getting over the hump here at Virginia Tech and getting back to 500. Thanks for your time. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys. Take it easy.
All right, there he is. Josh Black joins us at this time. Every Monday.
He's so good.
He is.
Answers every question.
He is. He was talking about Tommy DeVito being a class
He's gonna
act.
Take one of our jobs.
Yeah, Josh Black is is a class act. And with that, phone lines back open for the next hour. 315-437-7644. Back after this on ESPN Radio.